Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Innerman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
That's not, that's just too low of hanging fruit. Mark, we are in this series. We're talking about the world has gone crazy and it's lost its mind, and it's easy to lose our minds in the process. And so we're answering the question, what is a Christian to do?
Pull out their hair, move to the mountains.
The bunker. The homestead.
Yes.
Or just, you know what's really helpful is if we focus on politics.
Like, read more news.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, do we have a speaker? Do we not have a speaker?
How about focusing on things we can control?
Ooh, yeah.
What is there? Well, our time. We talked about focusing on our time and making the most of it.
In fact, last
we were talking about an issue in your schedule. You were trying to find some additional time with the trainer.
Yeah, exactly. And so
did you find it?
Well, bottom line is yes. So, but okay. There's a little twist to that. So we sat down, and if you listen to the last episode, you know that I had all these excuses why I couldn't meet the time demands that the gym was requiring. Uh-huh. Come to find out, I did mishear what KJ said was required for the extra time.
Okay.
Some of the extra time was, there was like cold therapy after
cold
the workout,
therapy.
Which he highly recommended. Which
that's
is
like NyQuil.
No, cold
therapy.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It sounds like that, doesn't it? Cold and flu therapy.
Yeah.
No, like cold water.
Oh,
anyway,
cold.
So, you know, he said, I need you to do that for 3 to 5 minutes, you know, but I heard 35 minutes. So I'm like,
I
can't make 35 minutes extra. But anyway, so when I brought that up to KJ, I said, hey, man, and we sat down and we had this big meeting. I had this list of things laid out, you know, and I said, I'm not sure this is right. And he goes, wait, you think 30, he's 3 to 5.
You'd like, be dead at 35 minutes.
Oh, man, probably. Anyway, so that is resolved. And we got the, but I tell you what, the exercise.
An extra 30?
Yeah, the exercise was helpful, though, because I had to go back and take inventory of my time.
Okay.
But this is where we get some audience participation, though. Everybody, audience participation here.
Yes, you.
Okay, how many took proactive measures after listening to the last episode, because we know it was so compelling.
Really good.
Yeah, to take better control of your time.
Okay, so when you say proactive, kind of measures are you referring to? To take better control of my time.
Okay, how many made a list of things that they need to do?
Ooh, that's, I'm looking.
Oh, there's one.
Okay, right.
Enough. Lane change. Yeah. So that right. person Watch changed lanes that. When they, uh-huh. okay, how many.
So making a list, all right. Okay.
Yeah, and
all
how right. many prioritized them? So you got your list. How many actually put a number next to those saying, this is more important than that? And move them. And if you do it on your computer, you can actually drag and drop, you know, make things higher. You know. Anyway.
What if it's just kind of a mental list that I'm thinking about?
You know.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
No.
How about, did you put it on your calendar? Did you do that? Did you stick an actionable item on your calendar?
Right. That was that handy dandy tool. We were trying to think up of a really cool tool that a person could use to allocate time.
Yeah.
And then we decided, you know
like
what?
Like a calendar.
It's already been invented. Yes. It's a calendar.
It's there.
But how many, after putting it on the calendar, checked back in to see if you had actually.
It's a lot easier to put them on the calendar
right.
in my experience.
Boy, my day didn't look anything like what I, and that right. happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But how many checked back in?
And then did you check to see if you were actually getting paid for your time? Were you getting your value out of your time?
Ah,
that's a harder one.
That's right. Right. And then
did you fire yourself by Wednesday?
Well, yeah, because that was the exercise, right?
Yeah.
If you were to assign yourself a wage, what would it be? Based on your productivity.
Yeah.
Not good intentions.
Not my potential.
Right.
I have the potential to be really effective.
Yeah. Pay me now. Pay
That's
me
right.
now. Up front.
Yeah, right.
Sign on bonus. And if you didn't catch all that, go ahead and listen to episode 104 and you'll be brought up to speed.
Yeah, you've got time for it. And speaking of time, time is money.
Money. Yeah, good job. Oh, that's the wrong button.
What was that?
I hit the ka-chow button. It should have been the cha-ching button. Here, we'll hit the right one.
Do that.
Okay.
You've ruined it now.
Oh, man.
All right. Money, money, money. So if we're going to talk about money, I don't think money can be controlled. What's this supposed to be about things we can control?
Yeah, well, but if you have the envelope plan, it can. I mean, as long as you use the
envelope plan.
The envelope. Who can control your money?
Make it last all month.
The yeah. envelope.
The
can.
Envelope plan.
There you go.
Yeah, that's yeah. not bad. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We'll work on that. Work. I think that's catchy.
Yeah.
How about just going through the App Store plan? Just browsing. There's lots of apps out there for taking control of your finances.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know how many of those I've downloaded that always seem to be, this will be the last one I ever use.
Mm,
yeah.
So good.
Or you could just have like the spending plan.
Is that like, now that's not a budget.
No, that's the Capital One money plan. That's the what's in your.
People are opposed to budgeting, but spending plan sounds so much better.
Actually, you're right. It is kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we don't have funerals anymore. We have
celebrations of life.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Different yeah. thing. Different. How about unique? You could grab somebody to go over your financial decisions with you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like an accountability partner.
Right.
Like an accountant partner.
Yeah, like next door neighbor.
Sure. You know, just anybody at
hey,
the
Bob.
Bus stop. You know, hey, could you look over my spending plan?
Yeah. Or the
not sure this is wise.
There's the forced spending plan that the government uses.
Oh.
It's like zero-based budgeting.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't spend it this year, you don't have it next year either. It's like...
I don't think that's what zero-based budgeting... But, or you could just browse Amazon late night and some irresponsible shopping.
Well, because the
that's
more
a plan.
Actually, if you're saving money on Amazon, aren't you saving money?
Well, shipping is free.
Yeah, right.
So I know I'm saving money right there. Yeah.
But
lots
Mark,
of plans out there.
Yeah, but Mark, it's not the plan. It's the pilot.
Yeah, most of the plans that are out there could be made to work with a little bit of intention, with a little bit of being deliberate and following through. You can make almost anything work if you have a mind to.
Except the Capital One plan. I mean, really, really, guys, you're going to be telling me about my budget now? Capital One?
But there are some elements that are common to most all of those plans. And so we're going to just hit those today in this particular episode rather than trying to find a one plan that fits all.
Yeah, but we're actually going to be really focusing on the why.
Why?
Yeah, like why. Like,
but
it's
why
not
are
like,
we going to focus on the...
Well, why? Like why me?
What?
Why are we doing this?
Why, yes, well, all of those whys.
Why am I here?
Why?
No, why do I need to manage my money, right? So it's not
why.
So this isn't like the five-step how to control your money episode, right?
How to make your money work for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, so you can save like never, anyway, whatever. So why? No, why are we even talking about this?
There is a good why, and Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 16. In verses 10 and 11, she said that if you're faithful with a little thing, you're going to be faithful in a big thing. And the reverse is also true. If you're not faithful with the little thing, then you're just deluding yourself if you think you're going to be faithful with the large thing. Jesus then attaches that to money. He says, you know, money is the small thing. He said, if you can't be faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will entrust the true riches to you or give you that which is your own? The idea is that money is kind of a barometer of your responsibility level, and that overlaps to things that are spiritual.
Second Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, we're told to work with our hands. You know, in fact, we can go there right now. And aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Really, how we manage our money will determine how we are able to walk with outsiders, our relationships with the outside world, so that we're standing uprightly.
Yeah, it's too easy. Sometimes I think Christians view money as a secular thing rather than a spiritual discipline. But if you can learn to handle money, then you're able to take on some spiritual responsibility. And again, the reverse is true. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 8 says that if anyone doesn't provide for his own house, especially his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, that's a money thing. He says,
yeah.
If you haven't been responsible with the simple stuff with money, then you can't be responsible with stuff that is more challenging with spiritual things.
Yeah, so that comes back to the why again. Why do we want to manage our money? Well, I guess the question is do you want to accomplish anything for God?
And man, go ahead.
What would that be?
Yeah, you know, it seems like any time somebody's trying to pitch the network marketing plan to you, they always want you to paint this big picture of this is what your life could be like if you reach double platinum delta level.
That's awesome.
I never made it that far. Never did. But there's always that picture, you know, of, hey, this is why you need to get involved. This is why you need to do this, because you've got this great thing out there, and if you just work our plan and sell our soap, then you're gonna have all these blessings. They wouldn't
say blessings.
That's how you pitch it to the Christian audience.
That's right. The Lord has just blessed me so much. Yeah,
but it's so cliche.
Yeah,
but you know what else? It's not the right motive for Christians.
No, but you know what else also sounds cliche is asking the question. So, what do you want to accomplish for God in your life?
It might help to.
Yeah. So if we don't know what we want to accomplish for God, then how about so somebody listening to this saying, I don't know, man. I don't know what I want to accomplish for God. Here's one. Let's start right here where we're at, right, with what's right in front of us. How about managing our money well?
That's a good idea. Let's make that more concrete. How about taking care of your own household? I mean, that's a great place to start.
Right.
So if your household is you, how about you take care of you and have something to share with those who are in need? Now, maybe your household's bigger than that. It's you and a few more. Well, okay, so step number one is going to be, let's take care of our household. Let's start with that first, and then we'll talk about the next thing.
Yeah, and this is where most financial programs kind of veer off a little bit.
Yep.
So they would say, well, the reason you want to manage your money well is so that you can save like no one else, so that you can give like no one else, so that you can be blessed like no one else.
Be blessed.
Uh-huh.
Like it.
Yeah. Or, you know, you want to drive a newer car, live in a nicer neighborhood. You want to project success because, you know, God wants his people to project success.
Yeah, I don't remember that exactly in the New Testament anywhere.
But now you can really be a blessing. But there's some truth to that. But the difference is that one appeal is to the flesh and the other really is to taking care of our spiritual matters for God.
Yeah, so I find it really helpful to take those kind of nebulous terms like you will be able to bless others. Okay, well, let's break that down into which others exactly, and how do you want to bless them, and how much is that going to take, and how many more hours are you going to have to put in at the job in order to do those things? So, because otherwise, if it's just kind of I want to be able to bless others,
right.
There's a chance that gets diverted into blessing us. And we need to be self-aware sufficiently and honest enough to say, well, what are my priorities really?
Right. And maybe that's where we can put it down on paper. What do I want to accomplish? How do I want to bless others?
Yeah. What am I going to spend my time on? What am I going to spend my cash on?
Yeah.
And put a name to it.
And make it a priority. I mean, set priorities, just like we do at time.
Yeah.
What are the priorities? So this is a good exercise to list everything out and put a number next to it. And the things at the bottom, you know, the things that get numbered past our budget, well, they don't get spent on.
Is there anything you don't put on a spreadsheet?
Like, no.
Is there?
Absolutely nothing.
Do you? Okay.
A spreadsheet can work for everything.
For everything.
If you're trying to pick out the right colors for the decor of the living room, spreadsheets, baby.
Your wife is so blessed.
I know.
So blessed.
Just ask her. She'll tell you.
She's really struck gold with you, didn't she?
Spreadsheet says so.
Yeah, that's right. But in order to have something to share, that doesn't necessarily just mean cash. It might mean time. So maybe you need to leverage yourself differently in the marketplace so that you can get some more time for your effort to spend with the spouse, to spend with the kids, to spend with the grandkids, and naturally, according to the spreadsheet. But to have those things, have the options of doing.
So it can look like this, being able to spend more time with the assembly, being able to help more people at the assembly. You know, it costs time, which can cost is really money. It costs time to be involved in the assembly. I mean,
sure.
It costs time it costs to carve out time to have those conversations with the kids.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because the other day after assembly, in talking with one of the guys who had endured their sermon, he said, "Wow." I said, "Well, how you doing?" He said, "I'm spent," and I think now I understand.
Nice,
but maybe just being able to get out of the rat race a bit. If you're working for a lower wage, it's going to take 60 hours a week, and that's just the fact of the matter. Mm-hmm. It's going to require that just in order to get by. So, if we're trying to put time, energy, money in other places, we're going to have to get more for our hours than we are just working as entry level.
Right.
How are we going to do that?
Oh, well, I've meant to for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's on my calendar.
Right. Right.
Right. I know I should.
Yeah.
Get control of money. I plan to.
Yeah, and I've made lots of promises over the years.
I think one more downloaded app will probably be the one that pushes me over the limit.
But I've got big dreams, Mark, for the future. Big dreams. And but I really have no idea how I'm going to get there. But dreams.
So we got the why. How about the how?
So we're addressing making changes in how we view money and how we handle it. Doesn't that just sound like another financial program? I mean, really?
Well, it could be. Yeah. But I think we've already covered that it's not necessarily the program that we're trying to emphasize so much as it is the purpose. And now let's work a little bit on the how we're going to implement those changes of priorities. So for Christians, everything comes from the inside out. We're not trying to force or compel someone, you got to do this plan or you got to do it this way. Rather, we're trying to change from the inside, and then the outside of the cup and the dish should become financially responsible.
Right. So we're developing a different faith picture.
That's it.
And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17-19 talks about being content and not setting our hopes on riches, but to do good, be generous, and be ready to share. Now, so am I that way? Well, Christ in me is that way. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17-19, summarizing that, really talks about being content, not setting our hopes on riches, being able to do good to others, being generous, ready to share. You know, a faith picture would say, hey, that verse is the kind of person I am, or that verse is Christ in me. How do I put that in motion? What can I do to achieve that in practice?
Yeah, well, here's one way you can start. When the scripture talks about being content, so let's say, well, what would be content? What would accomplish those priorities? And let's put a dollar figure on it. And say, okay, well, so at this point,
seven
that's
figures?
Good.
Wait, what?
At this point, wherever that is, that's good. Jesus, remember the parable that Jesus told about the guy who had a particular windfall year of profits?
Oh, yeah. Bigger barns.
Bigger barns, right. Well, what was wrong with the old barns? Were the old barns big enough?
Well, not for the windfall.
Right. And that leads us to the question, well, what's the purpose of the barn? The purpose of the barn should be to get you through until the next harvest, right?
Ah, right.
Not a bank, not a bigger bank, a bigger barn. But the problem is, when more became available, why were his old barns now insufficient? His needs didn't change. And being content is more about focusing on what the needs are than what the income is. And sometimes people get that out of whack. So trying to ask, okay, well, what would be sufficient? Where is my content line? And put a dollar figure on that. Well, then if I've reached that, well, then what do I do with the excess? Where does that go? How do I live?
When you're first starting out, you have these income goals and you just think, if I only made fill in the blank,
right,
X, you know, if I only made X, oh man, oh hun, we would just be living large. Everything would be. And then you hit X and somehow your spending found a way to completely chew it all up.
Right.
So now the X is a new goal, you know.
Now, obviously, circumstances change and maybe the family grows and you do need larger barns. Okay. But If the larger barns are only the result of windfall profits, then contentment is not present. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us in verse 28 that we're supposed to work so that we can share with those who have need. So whatever plan it is that we pick, whatever road we're going to travel or app we're going to use, three things really are necessary to make it work.
It's got to be on purpose. Has to be on purpose.
I'm in control of my money.
Yep.
I'm going to be responsible for how it gets spent. I choose to take control of this thing.
Yep.
But you also need to have a feedback mechanism.
Yeah, that's really, it can be, it's our budget, it's the checkbook, it's the balance, it's all of that combined.
Yep. It's being able to come back on a fairly regular basis and say, okay, how did things stack up compared to the way we planned them?
Yeah.
Did it work?
Right. Did I pay my bills on time?
That's a good...
Depending on where a person's at in the process, you know?
You bet.
Or maybe if somebody's at the point in the process, well, they've already got that handled. Was I able to give?
Right.
Was I able to spend the time I needed on X, which was a goal of mine, on this or that? Was I able to fill in the blank? Whatever it was that you had on the list that you were wanting to do.
Yeah. This feedback mechanism or that regular inventory really keeps you on track, because it's easy for those goals to shift if you're not deliberately going back over and reminding yourself, this is what I'm doing and this is the why I'm doing it. And that feedback time, when you stop to readjust and say, okay, well, let's take a look at how it actually worked out, that's your opportunity to keep your goals in the right direction.
And then you can make the necessary adjustments along the way. Things didn't work out the right way, make an adjustment. You make a mistake, make an adjustment.
Right. Yep. There's going to be a learning curve for sure. Yeah. And so when we're trying to learn to do this effectively, if you can do those three things, do it on purpose, make a plan. Second, check to see how you're doing. Are you progressing? And then third, be honest with yourself. Do I have to make some course adjustments? Do we have to change this? Do we have to change that? No, we don't need a budget summit. All we need to do is just, let's make some small adjustments. We're learning along the way, and that's okay. I don't know about you, but I am ready to get this. I'm ready to get this going. I'm going to start it.
Like right now?
Well, not right now, but like pretty soon.
Okay.
Pretty like, soon.
You know what a person should do first?
What's
is,
that?
Is to take the time assessment from episode 104 and go through that, and then put this on their calendar. Carve out a slot of time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I should learn time management first.
Before and then you do this.
Before that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's deep wisdom.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Pretty soon. I think I'm going to start by just opening the bills that I have.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start there.
Not a bad idea.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty soon.
Or maybe before the night's out. How about firing Starbucks?
Big bucks. Is that,
yeah.
$5 for a cup.
$5, man. That was so 3 years ago.
Make the plan and decide, when does that begin? Pretty soon is not a plan. Pretty soon is self-delusion masquerading as a plan. It's a good intention at best. It's just
an excuse. And that's a real positive note. Know the why behind your plan. And I think that's the most important thing, Mark. Finding your why. Why is it that I want to be... Would you just shut
Did
up?
You say find your why?
Find
That's
your
so
why.
Cliche.
Find your why.
I think you need to write a book. Find your. I'll bet that book's already been written.
It's been written.
But for
so many
Christians,
times.
That really is the beginning and the end of this question. It's not about how much. It's not about how big. It's about why we're doing what we're doing.
And we'll see you next time
on Inner Man Radio.
Oh yeah, we knocked it out of the park.
For sure.
I mean,
that's way better.
Aside
than the
from
first
all the
try.
Parts that we had to clip out of there. And the miss hit
this
on
one,
the button.
This one could be Hall of Fame. This one could
think?
Be top 10.
Okay.
When we go on vacation, we could play this one.
Let me know how that works out for you. Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Inner Man Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple Stores.